Ramble.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Welcome to the tripod. Obviously, everybody in the world's been playing Wordle.
Love Wordle.
We talked about Wordle. It's that game where you got five letters, you try and guess the word, blah, blah, blah. You know it. Ned introduced us this morning to a fucking nightmare. What is it called?
Nerdle?
Oh,
Nerdle.
God.
I'm getting it. I'm going to see if I can't beat it once.
I didn't really like it, but okay.
It sucks.
Nine squares, and you're trying to guess the number. No, you're trying to guess the math equation. So it's like 24 plus 32. I'm not going to do that math. And then you're trying to guess the equation.
Oh, God.
And it'll tell you what numbers are in it, what signs are in it, where the equals sign is. You know, I got it in three like a boss, but
that's baller. Yeah.
I didn't really like it as much as Wordle.
So Wordle, hard.
I felt like I was, you know, exploring my vocabulary, learning new things.
Yeah.
This one, I was like, I like math, and I still feel like this is pointless.
It's stupid. But you know what? It shows that there's opportunity for iteration on everything.
Sure.
Yeah.
Someone's like, wait, numbers. I'll do it with numbers. Fuck off.
Yeah. Did you guys see letter roll, which was just, you just had to guess the letter.
Yeah, I saw that.
That's so funny.
Good joke.
That is a good joke.
So dumb.
Yeah.
The New York Times bought Wordle, and we haven't seen any changes yet.
No.
It's coming.
Not yet.
Yeah, it's going to go behind a paywall.
Do you think?
Not yet.
Eventually.
Is that the plan?
They said there's no plans. Or no, they were just like, it's not yet going to go. Nothing. No changes yet.
Why why else would they buy something?
Put ads, data tracking, and then just to have it in their newsletter?
I guess.
Maybe. I think they just do a free and then a premium where you get more than one a day.
Or you get a seven letter or a six letter.
You got to pay for the crossword, right?
You do?
I think so. Whoa. It's like that's a freemium model.
Oh, yeah. You get one a day and then you pay for more.
Yeah.
Right. I think you get that day's crossword. But if you want to like, if you missed Mondays and you want to go back, then you pay. The office was paying for my crossword for a little bit. And it was pretty dope.
That's cool. Fraud. Nice. Bring him in. Get him in.
We did it for a video.
Then I
just kept it.
Nice. Well, today, gang, as you can see...
We are putting all of our videos behind the paywall.
Yep, of course. As you can see, your channel trailers here is
ads
pulled up.
Wait a second. Okay, no.
Why?
You should go ahead. What? I'm just wondering if someone did a model where only that week's YouTube video was free, and then to get the backlog, you had to go pay.
Yeah, that's interesting. I don't think it's a good idea.
It's terrible because
of the way that YouTube works.
It's so rude. Okay, sorry, but I'll just cut that out and do your beautiful transition.
So we have a channel trailer pulled up here. Now, I had this great idea.
You see a hair light shadow in my frame on the left.
You definitely can. I remember this day.
That's on you.
That's on me. Probably it is. I just started. I know so much less than I know now. So I got this great idea that I stole from Variety. And they have done Billie Eilish's same interview years apart, and they've done it 5 years in a row now. And I thought, let's fucking cut out the video, cut out the 4 years of buildup. Just do interviews 5 years apart and have you guys react to them.
Okay,
I love that.
You know, and you guys even said we wanted to do this on the channel, but we thought we'll have to film it and then release it. And I said, let's just half-ass it on the podcast channel, and it's going to go great.
Hell yeah, what the podcast is here for.
Exactly.
So this is our channel trailer when we announced that as the Try Guys, we were making an independent channel.
June 18th, 2018.
There you go.
Wow.
And
happy birthday, me.
This video was hell to make because we had this plan that we were going to do it in one take. Mm-hmm. And so we recorded a track with the four of us. And then we exported four different versions where we would remove Ned's audio and then only Keith's audio. Mm-hmm. And then we had to perform to the track, timed perfectly, without any audio bleed, or else that would fuck up the other ones. And we in our minds were like, we did it. We nailed it. This is going to be one take and it's going to be perfect. And then, of course, we got to the edit and it was a nightmare. Chaos. Nothing matched up.
Because we wanted to have four separate frames, right? You'd think, oh, just do it as a performance. You all do it at the same time. Yep. Nope. We want to have four separate frames. And we're like pushing our hands into frames. And you see like, you know, a champagne glass fly in from somewhere.
Keith is in two frames at once.
Style.
It didn't work even remotely. And so we had to come up with all this fun bullshit to cover up the fact that it wasn't one take.
And not only was it challenging to get each person to do their thing, but we also had to shoot two alternates.
Oh, yes.
So
yeah.
It was multiples. Like, let's try to do something challenging once, and then we have to do that same thing challenging again a different way.
Mm-hmm. The reason being is that at this point, we did not know if we had the rights to the name.
Yeah, we were negotiating our buyout of the rights up until the night before it launched.
Oh my God.
Yeah, in fact, this was delayed a week because as we were about to upload it, our team went, wait! And we were fully ready to go forward.
So this is a first of a couple. I want us to react to this, and we'll kind of pause as we go. And
yeah, this is not an interview.
No, this is not an interview. But to me, this is the first iteration of you guys saying what the new channel's going to be. And this is 3 years old. Mm-hmm. And so... Mm-hmm.
So is it true?
Is it true?
See, did we accomplish our dreams or not?
It. Yeah, probably exactly. Not. Is there,
life changes.
Life changes. And so we're doing this, and then we have a couple other like miscellaneous interviews from 5 years ago that we're also going to go through to kind of just see what's changed.
I bet you some of the things that we promise the channel will be are bad ideas. Mm-hmm. Let's find out.
All right, here
this
we go.
This is exciting.
That's a good negotiation tip, is always have your alternative lined up.
Hey, look at that. Not Hi, the I'm logo, Eugene. Triceratops.
I'm Zach.
I'm Eugene.
And we're the Try Guys.
We're back, baby, and welcome to our brand new channel. The four of us have been hard at work building an independent production company together.
Oh, now that's a good bit. That's a good bit.
There's too many hands.
That's a lots of hands bit. Moving. Great bit right off the bat.
For those who can't see it, one hand we're became three
creating.
Hands.
Yeah.
More of the awesome new content.
You look so little.
We're exploring new, exciting projects that'll blow your mind.
We're evolving.
Evolving.
Into the season production.
See, those evolvings didn't match up at all when we tried to sync this up.
And do you think we have evolved? I guess that's my question.
Oh, I wasn't actually listening.
Oh, for sure.
Oh,
for
yeah. We were exploring.
When you look at the stuff we used to do at the old company. The
best example, look at the very first Eat the Menu to the most recent Eat the Menu.
Oh,
they're different.
Huge.
So we evolved.
Evolving.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I remember I got a burrito. You guys brought around a cart.
Uh-huh.
That day.
Yeah, it was weird.
If I tried making candy competition at BuzzFeed, I would have been fired on the spot.
Oh, yeah. They're like, you cannot disparage your
We evolved.
Yeah.
Too many brands.
And we're still going to get totally naked.
That's true.
No, we're not. Put your shirt back on.
I haven't been wearing pants.
Oh my God, you guys, listen, we're a mature, autonomous group now.
For the record, I also have not been wearing
two Zacks in the frame.
Yep, two Zacks.
Pants are tossed. This is hilarious.
And we're beyond thrilled to be sharing this next chapter of our professional and personal lives with those who matter the most to us.
My wife.
No.
Oh. My baby.
Oh.
But no, it's you, our beautiful, amazing fans.
We wouldn't be where we are today without your love and support, and we can't thank you enough.
I have some notes on the performance.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm curious if you feel like your presence has changed.
Yeah, well, I don't love the way we sound.
It's a little annoying.
It's definitely a little
we were really out there.
Be happy boys.
Well, also you look at like what succeeds on YouTube, it's like feeling real and organic, and this does not feel real.
We really we overdid it. We probably could have just had a very like authentic, you know, one take of us all, four of us, not even just, you know, just all of us. We could have just sat on the couch and talked about it.
We wanted to show.
Dived into the drama
that we were good.
We should have just fucking made a YLF BuzzFeed video, probably. Just sitting on a couch talking about what happened.
But then you did.
That's the drama did that people like.
Well, we specifically were like, we're above that.
We're above that. We're going to make it complicated.
And then like a year in, we talked to YouTube reps where they're like, people don't realize that it's a different channel. You should maybe make that a point. And we're like, okay, we're going to make one.
Yeah.
And we got like 2 million subscribers in 24 hours.
Really?
That was only a few months in, actually.
Yeah. When we made the Why We Started Our Own Company video.
From four different
perspectives. Because people just, you know, the way the YouTube works, you just kind of click on stuff, you watch it. You may not notice the way the algorithm serves you things that it's a different channel
also,
from the other stuff.
Also, there was a ladylike channel. There was a unsolved channel. So like these other properties had channels.
Yeah,
so it made sense for BuzzFeed to make a Try Guys property channel, but they never did. We told them to. Yeah. They didn't. So we left and we did.
And I would say, the channel has become darker than this. Your performances are very poppy.
Well, definitely the color scheme is dark.
The color scheme is darker.
It's not pastel anymore, baby.
Yeah. No, baby.
I have all of the dark circles of a new father, but without the beard.
Now that we are completely independent, we control how our brand runs, and we'll be more connected to you than ever before.
So here's a dope thing we're doing. You
That's
can sign
true.
Up for our Patreon That's to get true. Access to behind-the-scenes videos, interactive live streams, exclusive merch, and so much more!
That's on Patreon, fans can access new videos a day
Shout
early.
Out Patreon.
And we'll be hosting a live stream Q&A
right,
every
had
month
to do to our announcement and Patreon questions. All in one.
You are the lifeblood of our work, so you get to decide the direction of
Well, we weren't sure
we're creating a bunch of
how many views we'd be getting.
And we need Yes, we are launching with an epic five-part series called Parenthood, all about my man Ned becoming daddy
really
for the first time.
I will say, do we still do, I guess we do several part series a little bit.
It's something that I want to bring back this year. I mean, we kind of had to stop because of the whole Panini situation.
The COVID That's really right. affected the content.
How so? Speak on that, actually.
I mean, well, so when it started, the beginning of it was like, okay, everyone made stuff from home, which meant we were doing format stuff you could do from home, which in general lost the camaraderie that makes the four of us special,
right?
Because it's just you and a camera, and also it was very hard production wise because we were just all so freaked out and so scared that like we would literally like drop off camera gear outside the door and wait till someone drove away to get the camera gear and bring it inside and then like it was just such a it just changed what we could do, and it was very logistically tough. And then as things, you know, then we were able to like do things like, okay, well, we'll do without a recipe and we'll be so wildly cautious, which was good, and we were like could only afford the risk of that kind of production for the stuff that like really could not exist.
And in general, we have always been a very experiential brand. You know, people can come on a ride with us to go see what it's like to race dog sleds on a glacier in Alaska, and you just can't really do that type of stuff anymore, and that's been really limiting and frustrating. I mean, we had, you know, when things were kind of opening up, we started to do some stuff. Like we went to San Francisco, we were gonna dive off 40-foot high dives, and that shoot got shut down from a COVID outbreak amongst our staff, and you haven't seen it. You have no idea that even happened, or maybe we talked about it, but that's like even trying to do things is frustrating.
Yeah.
Now I remember, so how long has the company been around? It'll be 4 years in what, May?
April and May is kind of when
April.
And have we now surpassed the time where we've been in the pandemic longer than the company had been?
Oh, Jesus, Miles.
Oh, my God.
How dare you?
Sorry. I just am like, because I'm like, our COVID content like
is now just our
is
content.
Is now just our content.
Is
going to
be, is almost the majority of the content, yeah.
That's fascinating.
Wow.
I think that is true,
it
I guess.
It doesn't feel like horrifying.
Time-wise, it feels like we did this for a really way longer time than we were in the pandemic.
Well, I think because this kind of stuff is so fun.
Yeah, right.
It's the most fun to show up on set and like, oh, okay, so today we're doing this, like all these interviews, and then we're going to basically shock Ned with stuff for like 2 hours. It's going to be hilarious.
Yeah.
And then... Then it was a grind to a halt. It's like, okay, now you're going to make soap in your kitchen by yourself.
And also be sure to break down all the equipment before your nurse fiance comes home because she doesn't want to come home to a film shoot house.
Yes. Yeah,
that's fair.
Yeah.
Another unfortunate reality is just that time changes and the algae changes.
Sure.
And a true reality right now is that I would say our most fervent fans, the ones who have been with us since the beginning, will often say, I really miss the old try content. You know, I miss when you guys tried stuff. and we do that every now and then, uh-huh. as we can, yeah. in you know, with the limits of the world being what it is. And guys, I'm going to be honest, that is our worst performing content.
Really?
The content that most resembles mm-hmm. the stuff that we started out doing, lowest performers on the channel.
Really?
So that's not a hindrance to me. That's not going to make me stop doing it.
Yeah.
But do you really know what you want?
That's so interesting.
It is. I don't know if it's that, you know, audiences change or the algorithm changes. But I mean, it's just,
yeah, without a recipe, and the food stuff is what kind of performs the best these days.
And the food stuff is the easiest for us to produce in a safe, controlled environment, right?
Yeah. For sure.
That's also a big part of it. We have a set that we can go to, and we can keep everybody masked except for us, and we can be in this same zone at least 6 feet away from every other person.
Well, without a recipe is obviously huge, but like, you know, making TikTok foods, that's fucking go to the grocery store, shoot it in a couple hours, and we haven't interacted with anyone and we're done. Whereas tap dancing, we have to go to a place, interact with other people who are all interacting with their own circles, and we test and we control and we try, and then we put all that effort in, and frankly, it doesn't
I think
do
some
well.
Of that is still that like we can't do tap dancing. Maybe the way we would have is we would also have rented a theater, invited a whole audience of people to watch us tap dance. Well, we can't do that.
Yeah.
So we tap dance in the studio in front of 8 people who are almost all of them are family members. That audience of invited people were all related. So they all they were already exposed to each other, but they still wore masks.
Yeah.
So it's just like, you know.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's the best we can do right now, and we're really trying. So I think we're evolving, as we said earlier.
For sure. Yeah, as the algorithm changes.
But also to answer the question that started, yes, I can promise we will do some more multi-part series because I love them, and I think they're the most rewarding. You know, actually, when we first did that, our first motherhood series, which was, you know, the labor pain simulator, kind of what put us on the big map. You know, we were on a little map, but that was a breakthrough for the Try Guys. Our original vision was to make like 1-hour-long
video
and our bosses at the time had to beg and plead for us to break it up. They were like, you fucking idiots. That is not what YouTube wants. You have 5 videos here. Do not release one video. And we were like, fine. And then it became like our bread and butter. And I am glad we did.
Well, how does that channel generally make you feel? Do you feel like the company has changed? Uncomfortable, really? Speak on that, Ned.
Because it's like, just seeing like a cheesy performance like us looking so young is I don't know, it's just strange. It's always a little uncomfortable watching yourself, especially if you don't necessarily like every part of it. You might want it to be different.
Yeah.
But I guess it also makes me feel like proud. I mean, look at everything we've done.
We have 329 videos in season X.
I oscillate constantly between deep embarrassment and shame and with a tinge of pride. Yeah. But I'm definitely imagining like being fucking old as fuck. Hey, Ariel.
Hey.
Bye.
Bye, Ned. Ned had to go. Ned. And there were two.
I'll move over there.
Yeah, okay, move over there.
I'm definitely imagining like, you know, your grandfather was famous back in the day. Really, Grandpa? What was it? And then they put that video on. They go, cool, Grandpa. That's wow. That's really, Grandpa, really crazy? Something. You know, whatever. There are videos that we've made that I am not necessarily proud of, but I try and separate the fact that what I like is not necessarily what everyone likes. And if it has touched someone's life, then that's a good thing.
Yeah.
I really think that we have done a very good job. I think it's easy to blame yourself for it not being as high performing, but there's actually a lot of factors in why things get watched. And you still want videos to crush and for, you know, get 3 million in a day. It would be fucking dope. But that's, you know, it's hard to do that. And it's also like we have a lot of content for our audience to consume. So it's asking a lot.
I think about it this way. This is turning into a nice little therapy session. Yeah, I have talked about stuff like this with my therapist. we are 8 years in, essentially, to making The Try Guys, right? Yeah. I mean, it has changed, obviously. What fucking TV show have you watched for 8 years? Like, that's, you know, just anything. And the output of
it. Especially with around 50 to 100 episodes a year.
Yeah, right? That's insanity. So to sustain anything is obviously a testament to us. Good job. Yeah, we did it. But a testament to the audience and like, and you guys for sticking with us and helping us figure out what we are and what we can be and the allowance that I guess we've gotten from the audience to experiment and try different things. Because if we did just stay doing one thing forever and ever, we would have, you know, died a long time ago.
Right. Yeah.
For also, sure. Not only are we putting out two videos a week, but there are videos that have been out for 4 years, for 6 years, for seven years. And sometimes people are just still finding those. So like you're sort of competing against your own catalog for views.
Yeah.
Because there's people all the time who are like, clearly just watched a video from 2 years ago and they tweeted me about it. And I'm like, oh, I haven't even thought of that video, but this is you just watched it. So just because it's not getting watched the day it comes out or the week it comes out doesn't mean it's not getting watched.
People discover the Barkschler every single day.
You'd be surprised at how many tweets I get about the Barkschler. I probably at least one every other day.
Wow.
Yeah.
What are they saying?
Spring back the Barkschler. It's like, or I thought this was going to be the Barkschler and it's a picture of the current bachelor with a bunch of puppies.
Oh, wow.
There's like people like, who just find the Barkschler is like, I'd like to submit my dog or my cat. Or like, there are people constantly asking for more Barkschler.
Yeah.
Love it.
See, but they don't know what they want.
They don't know what they want.
They don't really want the Barkschler.
But there's a difference between views and impact.
That's true.
Uh-huh. And YouTube forces you to just go for the biggest buckshot of people you can. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't mean that it means the most.
Yeah.
So, you know, I said our try videos don't get as many views, but it doesn't mean that they're not the most important.
Good point. All right, so this is from the Build series. We're not going to watch this whole thing. We're just going to kind of scan through
43 minutes.
Yeah, it's long.
This is an interview. Okay, 2017. Uh-huh. We were at the Buzz Fuzz.
5 years ago.
Us, Ashley Perez, Quinta Brunson, and Kelsey Dara. We all went to New York, and we did an interview. I don't really remember why we did this.
I don't know. Was it just BuzzFeed putting you up for press stuff?
Yeah. I think
pretty much. We were the people who were in the quote-unquote development program.
Yeah, right.
Right.
So we were meant to use BuzzFeed to create shows and bigger properties of IP.
Right.
That was the point. Mm-hmm. So they shopped us around to other like media places and be like, yes, that's what BuzzFeed is doing. And we're the people who are going to sort of the ambassadors of that program.
Yeah.
I'm Keith and I have the same title as them.
Hilarious, Keith.
I'm Ned, and I'm a husband first.
Oh. Good, Ned.
And a producer and development partner.
Do we remember the audience? Was it all just fans?
Yeah, it was just fans.
I'm Zach Kornfeld. I'm Ned's wife. And,
good joke.
I'm one of the side guys.
And I'm Eugene Liang. Thank you for the birthday wishes. I am 67 years old. Because Asian does not raisin.
Good joke.
We're all funny.
We're all funny. Very good.
I like looking at this, too, because it's like looking at what did we think was our nice clothes at the time.
Yeah.
You know?
I think we look okay.
We look sharp.
I think we look way better than we could have.
Yeah. Certainly, I would say more respectable than I dress now.
I think it's a fair representation. Like, we actually all sit within 20 feet of each other, and
guys, it's 2 feet.
Yeah, it's like we are back to back to each other by choice.
Yeah.
But we're moving offices right now, but eventually we'll all be in one office in LA, which will be really nice because we have been on different floors, which has made it a little harder to see each other. But
should I lose the mustache?
Each other every day.
That guy looks better. That looks like more trusting than I look right now.
Yeah.
Keith, this is 5 years old, but you look identical to how you have not aged a day.
Except for the mustache.
Well, I love the mustache.
Yeah, I do look pretty much the same.
Yeah, wow.
But I'm more clean shaven. No mustache. The hair looks good. Must have gotten a haircut for this trip.
And at this time, were you like thinking that you wanted to ever branch out? Or were you just like, let's fucking get on this wheel and see how far it takes me?
So I had always had a metaphor for being a BuzzFeed.
Yeah.
And it was sort of like I saw BuzzFeed as a really dope ladder, like a high dive ladder.
Yeah.
And there are multiple opportunities to get off at a platform and jump off, and you'll still make quite a big splash. But you could keep going.
Yeah.
And as long as you were going up, you were like, you were never going down. Like the splash would always be bigger. But at any point you got off, it'd still be a good time to get off.
Right, for sure.
So like once you get to a certain height, the splash doesn't get much bigger between like 60 feet and 70 feet, right? So that was the idea. It's like, I'm going to do this as much as I can, learn as much as I can, get better at making stuff, obviously get a bigger following. Right. Because the more I have those things, when I don't work at BuzzFeed anymore, I will have built so much more for myself to do. I didn't think I would maybe do this, but I knew I'd do something, and I probably want to be performing and making stuff. But BuzzFeed was the best place to be doing that at that time. So I was going to do that as much as I could. And then when that was done, I would have built something for myself to fall into, whether that be a large audience or enough skills to build an audience. Yeah. That was sort of my philosophy.
Are you guys ever surprised by the kind of content that seems to take off and explode? Or is there stuff that you thought maybe would have been bigger or wasn't?
I think the value of the internet is less like when we're surprised when things don't hit. It's more when we're surprised when they do hit. Yeah. And I think that's where the real learning curve comes. For example, you know, I come from a sort of traditional like Hollywood filmmaking background. And one thing that brought me behind the camera initially was, you know, I'm Asian American and I just never thought there was a career for me in front of the camera. But the internet was just completely antithetical to that in its response, saying that we want to see every face, we want to hear every voice. So that's what I really appreciate about
Eugene's face. Mainly they want to see Eugene's face.
Is Eugene still the hot one? Yeah. Keith's face does best on thumbnails, right?
Well, he's very expressive.
I guess so. I guess I'm hot.
Yeah.
I guess I'm the hottest one.
I mean, what Eugene's speaking to was a real revelation of that era of YouTube, which was that the niche is mainstream, right? And what made the internet special is that it allowed marginalized voices to have a space to come to the forefront, because traditional TV, you know, they're trying to cast as wide a net as possible. So traditional, you know, CBS, they're not going to do a sitcom about what it's like being a gay Asian man. But on the internet, there's millions of gay Asian men, and they all are hungry for that content. So now you're the first person to make that content. You're speaking to a voice or speaking to an audience that hasn't been spoken to. You can go quote unquote viral. That was like a huge thing for us. And part of what I think makes that era of the internet so special is that it allowed people to see themselves for the first time and also to make content to center themselves for the first time.
Yeah. Now, what he was saying about like it being the perfect amalgamation of the internet, the content you were working on there, do you feel like the content you make now is a perfect amalgamation of the internet? Or do you feel like it's like your corner of what is interesting about the internet?
Our corner. I mean, he's talking about BuzzFeed.
Yeah, for sure.
Right? And BuzzFeed literally is supposed to be like every trending thing all at once.
Right, for
sure. We are not every trending thing. We are supposed to be an unscripted comedy show that explores different people's identities and stuff like that. Now, we have grown to be that and other shows. But I think the purpose of this company right now is to make really cool content and also open doors for ourselves.
Yeah.
Right? Like
try and be a little selfish.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, it's like, what can I make right now that might actually help me in 8 years? Like, if tomorrow I woke up and said, I want to be a weatherman. Well, I could start doing stuff in weather meteorology, like reporting right now. I could just make myself a weatherman. I could be a joke weatherman, and then maybe I could actually become a weatherman. Now, I don't know. I don't think I want to do that. But because we have all the things you need to be a weatherman here right now, we could be weathermen.
Yeah,
sure. So it's sort of like building the ability to do whatever it is we want. But the problem is, what do you want? That's the harder question. What do you want?
Right.
And do you want that thing enough to not do the other stuff you like doing? Because there's no secret that I want to be like a talk show host someday. Mm-hmm. I'm not doing anything really to become a talk show host right now. Mm-hmm. And it's because I enjoy the things I'm doing that aren't related to that too much to spend as much time. Like, I enjoy making music with Lieberberger. I enjoy making silly fast food content. I enjoy doing Try Guys videos. And I also enjoy just spending time with Becky. There's not a lot of time to do everything you want to do.
Yeah,
so you have to like decide what you want to do right now to have a good life balance.
Yeah.
But maybe in the next year I should start doing like more stuff that's interviewee and do things that will set myself up for that stage of my career.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe it should be Drew Gallagher.
Maybe it should be Drew Gallagher. I don't know who this is. Young Hollywood. So this is a clip. We're going to watch some clips from The Social Stream. This is the Try Guys Will Try Anything from February 2017.
This is us doing press for our star-studded YouTube Red series, Squad Wars. It's from the description.
Which you guys loved.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No notes.
I'm glad we did it.
Yeah, of course.
Halloween guys have been in a demolition derby, have worn edible women's underwear, and have been kicked by MMA superstars. Here today in studio, we have the Try Guys.
Yo, yo, yo.
Yo, yo, yo.
Yeah, I mean, that is how I prefer to start all correspondences.
Wow.
You want to know something fun?
Yes.
I think we're in a hotel room.
No fucking way.
You're 100% right. I remember. Yeah.
What?
It was really weird.
They had booked hotels and they turned hotels rooms into like press suites, and they had built all of this in a hotel room.
Holy shit. That's crazy.
It's pretty wild.
Super bizarre. Yeah. And also, from the way that we were looking around, I think that we all assumed that he was on a single until we were revealed.
Yes.
We weren't. We were just sitting there awkwardly.
The whole time.
But I love looking at this. I mean, Ned's got his trademark leather jacket.
Yeah.
Still rocking it.
Uh-huh. You look totally different.
I look exactly the same.
You look cute.
You look cute, but this your glasses good, and the beard.
Well, I mean, these guys will try anything. You know, I think it's amazing that you guys are literally redefining what it means to be masculine. Masculine isn't just the most capable, the most prepared. Masculine Ethan's is being afraid of something and stepping up as bravely as you guys are doing. And with that, now you guys have a new show that you're launching called Squad Wars.
I'm Zach.
I'm Ned.
I'm Eugene.
And I'm Keith.
And this is Squad Wars.
I think a live commentary of Squad. Maybe you should do Squad Wars for Guilty Pleasures.
Oh my god.
Is that anyone's Guilty Pleasure?
That just made my skin crawl.
I think that's a
the
great
idea of going back and watching those. Oh, fuck you, Miles.
There's got to be moments, though, right? There's got to be moments that are good.
There's gotta be.
Like that moment they showed of someone doing the worm and us singing "Get It, Baby." That was good.
Get it, baby.
That
get
was
it,
fun.
Baby.
That good. Moment, that little moment was fun.
I think you gotta do it.
You're really scratching open some deep wounds over here today.
Well, the goal was, and I think what's great about the Vanity Fair things with Billie Eilish is they're often like they're very wistful, and I was trying to elicit that from you guys.
You'd just have cringe from us.
Well, just cringe, which is also good.
The reality is like that as an artist, if I can call myself that, is that I've seldom in my life been able to look back and say, oh, that was the most that I could do. Mm-hmm. Or that was, and that's something I'm working through.
It's the most but, that you could do.
Yeah, like there's always an asterisk next to my accomplishments, I feel, mm-hmm. where I look at that and I'm like, oh, that was good considering XYZ. Oh, this was a great video that I made for $300.
Yeah.
Or this was like a cool thing I made. Or it's cool that I did this even if I don't like the whatever. So like that is how I feel about a lot of what I've made, and part of I think why I'm currently behaving the way I am of like, okay, I need to make something where there's no asterisks attached to it in any direction whatsoever, where I look at it and say, yes, this is what I am capable of. And then you could also argue like this company is that, right? Like this company is what we are capable of. But oftentimes videos have some sort of impediment that you have to work around. Impediments often lead to creativity, often create greatness, right? Like it's not a direct one-to-one value. But anyway, yes, I cringe at a lot of this. Uh-huh.
So where is Squad Wars going to be airing at?
So you can find it on YouTube Red, USA, Mexico, Korea, Australia, or New Zealand. Memorize that on the ride over here.
That's really good.
You can watch it on YouTube Red. Otherwise, it's on Google Play. You can download
by the episodes, yeah.
I mean, look at this.
We look badass. Yeah, we can talk about cool. that.
That is masculine.
That's pretty cool.
Masculinity. So,
yeah, there's a lot of talk about masculinity here. And I'm wondering if you guys feel like you still make that type of content, or if like you that's assumed about your content that you are portraying a different view of masculinity. Because I think that's like what the early Try stuff was.
Yeah, I think that was part of what our initial appeal was. And I think it's just very normal, especially on TikTok. Like I think that the gender roles have you know, look, obviously there are parts of the country where they're still quite rigid, but the expectation of a man does this and a woman does this, they are melting. And so I imagine that a lot of our early content would not be extraordinary in any way if made today.
Right.
Because it's a product of its time.
Mm-hmm. I think we were a part of a shift in that kind of perception.
Yeah,
but I don't think we were the reason that that maybe some people
what if
are,
we were?
We might have been. I mean, for some people, we might have been.
Sure.
Like, I it's too many people who come up to me and say they grew up watching me. It doesn't, I don't like that phrase in particular. Or I used to watch you all the time as a kid. I was like, uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
How old am I?
Okay, so what I watched watching your series is, you guys are kind of like the Wizard of Oz.
Love it.
You guys, please, here are the four leads of the Wizard of Oz. Okay,
okay.
So
okay.
With Ned, you're like the mind guy. You're the most focused, you know, in the car driving episode. Huh. You are all in your head, right?
Yeah.
You, my friend, you are like the Tin Man. Excuse me, no, Ned is the Scarecrow. I take that back. Yeah, the Scatterbrain Scarecrow. Yeah.
Okay.
So my favorite episode was your K-pop moves because that got you out of your head and into your body. What
That's
was that
true.
Like?
I mean, you know, I am.
He better finish this metaphor. He better
do this all cast.
I actually have a science degree. So, like, it's a challenge for me sometimes to...
Oh, my God, Zach.
You dismiss the funniest thing while doing the funniest thing.
Zach spilled tea all over himself in the microphone.
No. The microphone crashed. I caught it.
Yeah.
And in doing so, spilled the tea.
But you missed us making faces at Ned talking about how he went to Yale, basically.
Yeah.
You got to go back 10 seconds.
My socks are soaking
wet. Oh, my God.
Wow, that was two funny things. How could you watch both funny things at once?
Just, all right, go back and show.
I actually have
someone
a
better
degree,
fucking gift that.
So like it's a challenge for me sometimes to you know.
Not that they punch in
so
to help. Really, I don't think I've ever watched this video. Yeah.
Ned's talking about his science degree, and Keith just goes.
Look at your guys' faces.
Eugene helps me with that. He's a great dance instructor. He made out with me. It kind of, you know, when someone's making out with you.
I'll make out with anybody.
It forces you to
are
just
we high,
get
Zach?
Yeah, yeah. Are you guys fucking? Yeah, are you?
I don't think we were, but we're acting like two dudes who are high at the interview. Yeah.
I get asked a lot if I was high in XYZ.
Same.
And the answer is almost no, always no.
Almost always no.
But I'm delighted that you think so.
Yeah, people think I'm high and eat the menu. I'm like, no. I did that once. Big mistake.
Oh, yeah.
Jack in the Box, I thought I was dying. I thought I was dying.
It's not fun to be high on camera.
No.
Well, unless that's the point.
Unless everyone is like, that's the point. This is what it's for. Otherwise, you kind of feel weird and guilty about it.
We always make the mistake of getting too high when we're supposed. Like, if you want to be high performing, just get a little high.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Yeah, for sure. You don't need to get too high.
I microdosed an edible, which is not real. I just took a very small amount.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's rest.
And I'm talking like a milligram.
Yeah,
maybe 1.5. And I did not feel high, but I look back at the photos and videos we took and I'm like, oh, I am a goofy, just buffoon.
Yeah.
And that's where I think I should. I'm thinking about just doing that for work every day.
You know,
well, that's the thing.
When we did that little tiny bit on the podcast,
great.
I had a great day.
I was a little too high.
I wasn't too high.
I was too high.
But I smoke a lot of weed. So,
well, those are both great episodes. And by the way, the synth cut, it's already been out for a couple weeks at this point.
Oh, yeah.
We did release the synth cut on Patreon.
What do people think?
I haven't seen the results. I've seen people like the promo for the synth cut.
Yeah, the promo was funny.
But
by the way,
I was proud of it.
How dare you, Miles, as the person who censored the cut to begin with, to then be promoting it as if like, yeah, we released it. That's what I wanted all along. You're the one.
How dare you?
You're the one.
Okay, all the comments on the one where we did have synth were like, I hate this. I hate this so much. You have to take this out. And also, being said, there is... four times the amount of synth in that second episode than there is in the
and
first
and a
one.
Lot of it is just bees.
Yeah, it's just
a lot of just Zach made just chaos.
All right, keep this going.
Never know.
You never know. Yeah, no, I think...
this is the era when Eugene wasn't out.
A
he was just sexual.
Yeah.
He just pretended that he
one that's a bit more
everyone.
Robotic.
Yeah.
Cool. You guys are really stoned in this. You're not talking at all.
I do love blue squares, so actually Dorothy is a perfect match to my character, but I want to hear what you think.
It seems like in the therapy session, you reveal that you think your skills are in talent and being, you know, the loudest, the most vocal,
this guy did his homework.
Well, Dorothy was like searching for that approval for
I just love that he's, I think you and I are tickled that he's spending so much time on this metaphor. That we're like, this is the funniest interview I've ever been in.
He likes to wear long
and there's really nothing for us to do. We just have to listen to him. It's not an interview. It's more of just him talking.
Yeah,
but it was kind of nice. Help you kind of make peace with the fact that you don't.
We were in a hotel room. We're relaxed.
Yeah, you know, I have the honor of working with these three guys who are incredibly skilled, and we have a great balance across all of us.
Is it still an honor?
Is it still an honor?
Oh yeah.
Do you still work with all three of us?
Yeah, I think so. Okay. No, I definitely think that what you guys make is cool, and I like seeing cuts of your projects. I mean, I love watching Candid Competition.
Obviously.
I love getting to see all the versions of it because, well, things get cut from the final that are too funny.
Right.
So I like watching the second cut.
The full
rough cut is the one to watch.
Yeah.
But then also the final cut because some cool graphic things happen that are really, really funny. But, you know, I like watching everything. I'm always impressed with what Eugene is doing. I think Ned is like brilliant in how he has scaled this company.
Yeah.
I could not have done that. It's great to work with these guys.
Everyone
here I think is dope.
Watching your dynamic here, do you think your dynamic has changed from four guys working together sort of almost against and for BuzzFeed trying to get your creative things along, and now you are four guys who run a company looking downward?
I think our dynamic together as friends is similar. The thing that has changed is that at this time we were doing everything all four of us, where
all the time
we were
too much.
Yeah, I mean,
too much.
We were, you know, literally filming everything of like setting up the lights,
yeah,
all that, but also editing. And, you know, we would often, one person would edit a video and then hand it off to someone else, and then me and Keith would sit together and with one headphone in each ear and decide what to cut. And, you know, it's no secret, there are now videos that we just don't watch at all.
Yeah, sure.
There are videos that have been on the channel that I've never seen a second of.
Really? Not only did we work together, but then we'd be like, okay, so it's Friday, so let's all go to happy hour. Right. And typically all four of us would go, and other BuzzFeed people would go.
Yeah.
But then it'd be like Saturday. It's like, oh, Saturday we're meeting for dinner and then going to WeHo. So it'd be like, it was like a lot.
Yeah.
And then, you know, then we started a company, and then it was like actually constant, where it was like 8 a.m. to midnight every day.
I've actually tried to consciously, like, I feel like I'm coming up from the fever dream that was the Try Guys that like swept me down into a fucking whirlpool, and I'm like, oh right, I had other friends and I neglected them for a long time.
and the pandemic really killed all outside friendships.
Because
we had to work together, which meant we couldn't see anyone else. Yep. We could only see each other, which meant if we did want to do something fun, it was having them over for dinner at your house.
Right.
That was the only option.
Yeah.
And only, you know, in this last summer when things were a little lighter, I was like able to see other friends of mine.
You want some real talk, Miles?
Yeah, I do.
Another
I would love that.
Grabs the head of the mic.
Oh, God.
Real talk.
You know, another thing is that we were exclusive creative collaborators for this time. And there were a couple exceptions. Like, you made your videos with Chris every now and then. And you had Lou Berger at this point, or it was starting.
Yeah, it was. Actually, I mean, it did exist. It was just like not really content. It was only like small shows around LA. That was it.
So there were a few exceptions, but for the most part, it was the four of us working together on a shared thing. And I think as time has gone on, we obviously have other things that we want to make. And then as of late, it's like, oh, right, like, what happens if I work with another creative collaborator, both within this channel and outside of it? Like, how does that modulate my content? And how does that allow, like, with the music, I would love to make music videos on this channel, but I cannot. I told Keith this the other day. I cannot be your music collaborator. I just can't. Like, there's nothing that I can offer you.
Yeah.
And so what he's done is he's surrounded himself with people who are better at music than him.
Yeah.
That's so cool. Mm-hmm. And so at this time, we were surrounding ourselves with people who were better at us in different things.
Mm-hmm.
Keith is the best performer I've ever met. Eugene is like this big picture cinematic thinker. Ned is just an organizational mastermind and a tremendous performer.
Mm-hmm. And just sometimes does the craziest decision. And in the world.
Insane motherfucker.
He's just rolling a D20 sometimes. And sometimes he's rolling 20 and it's on an idea that should have rolled a 3. Yeah. And it works like a 20. It's unbelievable.
And I mean, I'm saying each of us have that one skill. That's not true. We all have a multitude of skills. And so the way that we were able to come together and learn from each other really pushed and challenged us. I mean, when I first got to BuzzFeed, I was sitting across from Adam Bianchi, who went on to basically create Tasty and do Worth It. And like the way that I was able to just suck up his knowledge and then he would suck up mine, like that's how we grew.
Right.
That was something beautiful about this time, and also beautiful about like as things change is like, okay, well I've sucked up their knowledge.
Yeah, and even as things got bigger at BuzzFeed, even after that first year where we like were sitting across from me at a Bianchi and stuff, you were still working with other people and other people would come through and they'd be also be geniuses. Yeah. And you try to at least do one project with them. It was like all these people came in with their particular strengths. Like Shane
Madej
came in and learned motion graphics at BuzzFeed as an intern. And like that's what makes Unsolved as good as it is. That's
and
what makes these
history.
And Puppet History. Like he learned these skills and is clearly a genius and found his niche of creativity in that moment, kind of.
Yeah.
Ryan Bergara, Stephen Lim, all these people came in who were just so talented. Mm-hmm. And you got to watch them sharpen their skills with other talented people.
Not everyone you just listed is talented. No, I'm just kidding.
<That's true. laughs> There's some talentless.
I didn't mention some people.
To finish off the four group Oz, we have the Cowardly Lion over here.
Thank you.
Zach.
Oh, wow. Fuck you.
So in that therapy interview, you talked about not being this physical man, this big hunk of a masculine beast, and these things intimidate you, getting kicked by an MMA champion.
Not fun.
What was that like?
It was, well, so we did this UFC video and it was one of our first really physical videos. And turns out that a big strong man can toss me around the room with very little ease. But what was shocking about that day was that like the UFC fighters are the sweetest, most what, like their hearts are so big. I will say on the negative side, our necks were stiff for about 2 or 3 weeks after that. But everything that we're doing, you know, we're not just doing it for the shock value and for the craziness of it. We're trying to get deeper and understand it. So when we're doing labor pains, it's to sympathize and try our best to understand what
Still
people...
talking at the same speed.
You know, he hasn't let you talk the whole time, so I understand why you're keeping these one-line sentences tight.
8-minute interview, I get one line, and I'm going to make it count. Yeah, I mean, I stand by a lot of that.
Cowardly Lion's a good descriptor at that time, I
for
think,
sure
especially.
I mean, I definitely played, I mean, I am a wimp and I played up the wimp. What is interesting to me is I think at this time I don't think that I was diagnosed with ankylosing spondylitis. So I talked about my neck being stiff and I had no idea why. Which is wild. The whole idea of masculinity, I certainly learned through being at BuzzFeed to embrace my lack thereof. And I do not consider myself a traditionally masculine man. And that gave me a lot of stress as a child, right? Like that was a lot of the mental anguish I went through as a kid is that I was not the boy and man that was promoted. What's the word I'm looking for?
Idealized, perhaps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I found a beauty in that. And at this point, I don't think I was fully comfortable with myself. I went through my little metamorphosis as time went on. So I'm now a lion bitch.
Yeah, let's watch the little.
You got your courage.
But really showed us
how courage back.
You got your medal of honor.
So I think for everything that we do, even when it is as crazy as, you know, jumping into the ocean and swimming with sharks, there is a reason for it. And that reason is not just the shock value. It's to try and connect with people and to bring some understanding into this world.
Really thought very deeply about our content, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, we were there to be on an interview. You got to look smart.
This is fun, Miles. I never want it to end.
You never want it to end?
A lot of these probably sound exactly the same.
I would bet they do.
Because they ask the same questions. Mm-hmm. They always hit the same tentpole videos, labor pains, something like that.
Is there anything that you won't try?
Of course. Now, why don't we watch a little bit of this one before we wrap up? This is the oldest one. This is 2016.
What drives me crazy is that still to this day when I do interviews, they're like, so how did you try guys get their start? I'm like, you fucking, really?
Who cares? More like, I think most people...
How is it still going?
Yeah. How is it still happening?
Are we still doing this shit? This is 6 years old.
I believe I gave Eugene a lap dance at the end of this. Katie LeBlanc, our producer, who now works with...
Look at all those fans.
Katie! This was, I want to say, the first time that we were in a room of fans.
Yeah.
How many guys are here? Yeah. You asked?
It was an overwhelming amount of ladies.
Well, that you can hear by this screams. It's,
yeah. I always knew I was different, I guess.
For those listening, this was crossfaded.
I didn't know this film until a teacher recommended it for me because I was kind of all over the place.
Reel.
And then, film kind of became my end-all, be-all for all my, young childhood. And then once I hit college, it was my focus. But, BuzzFeed kind of brought all of those talents back.
And I was really big into performing, did lots of improv and stuff. But I only learned media, editing and film, out of necessity. Because when you're trying to be a successful comedian in Chicago, you have to sort of... you have to promote yourself.
So one thing I'm remembering about this is that, so this was our first live event. Mm-hmm. And if I'm remembering, you know what? It was either this or another UC school.
Mm-hmm. UC Irvine, one of the two.
Maybe it was UC Irvine and not this. Both. We premiered the Try Guys Halloween costumes episode where with the iconic clitoris moment. And I remember the joy. I've only gotten to watch Try Guys videos in public maybe twice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it is... such a thrill to just have
a laugh track,
howls
basically.
Of laughter in real time.
That was the one we were on. We were on the leather chairs. I think.
Yeah, that was the other. That was Irvine then.
This is a good thought right here, though. This was actually why I started editing was because there's no production happening in Chicago.
Yeah,
there were if you wanted to make sketch comedy, you'd have to find someone who could shoot it and edit it and make it look good, and there were just nobody who would do that unless you would pay them, and no one had any money. So I just learned skills simply because it was the only possible way to put myself into videos and put those videos on the internet, was to just do it by myself.
I don't think that the world knows enough Keith's work ethic and how he just fucking, if he wants something, he goes after it and does it himself. And it's from childhood making your mini golf courses to teaching yourself how to edit to the relentless output you had when we were all working together.
Oh, yeah.
He's a worker. I consider myself very lazy in your shadow.
I just think everything is learnable.
Yeah.
This is a philosophy I've gained.
Well, we got a wrap up the episode, but I'm curious if if you have any other thoughts about looking back at yourself and your perspective then versus now.
I burped in that last clip because I burp all the time, and I try to burp as slyly as possible.
Shy burp.
I saw myself burp.
Mm-hmm. What is fun to me underneath the surface of these interviews is I can sense us trying to communicate that we are important, that what we are doing matters, and we are more than just... people that work at BuzzFeed were on to something.
Yeah.
And that we thought very deeply about what we did. And there was a little bit of also trying to define ourselves in the shadow of that giant of saying we are the ones who are figuring this out. And I don't know that I would give an interview the same way today because I'm
more relaxed.
I don't have anything to prove to anybody.
Definitely.
Yeah. I feel like now if I'm going on an interview on TV, I can just rest and know that I'll be fine.
Yeah.
I'm to have a good time now.
Yeah. I'm going to go and goof around if I can. If it's an environment where I can goof, I'm going to goof.
Yeah.
If I were on a talk show, I'd break the mug, toss it on the floor.
Just smash it.
Stir it up. Stir it up a little bit. Have fun. It's just these types of interviews, especially if you were to watch all these interviews that you showed us, the whole thing back to back, you'd watch the same interview.
Yeah, for sure.
Because they're all the same.
Big mug.
And then be like, I don't know, just trying to mix it up, guys. Trying to make some content. We're making content here. This is meant to be something someone watches and gets entertained by and also gets informed by. But if the same interview has been posted by 100 people in 100 different forums, it's not actually entertaining anymore.
How many views does this have? How many people have watched this?
This is a
4-minute
probably not as many.
5,000.
No, this is a let's see small. Two comments. Let's see what they are.
Oh, let's see.
Oh, hell yeah.
No, only one comment.
That end though, foreshadowing the tripod.
That's the end.
What's the end?
That is exciting.
High in the mountains of Riverside.
vessels, a small/large university.
What?
What does small/large mean, Ned?
Well, it's small given the size of other public universities.
You could probably say medium.
But large given small liberal arts colleges.
Nobody's going to hear this. This isn't a podcast.
It depends on your point of reference.
Wow. Wow.
Wow.
Well, fucking A. That
really foreshadowed. Hey, oh, there's the lap dance up there.
Oh, Troy, I try lap dances. There you go. Oh, here's lap dance.
I don't know the context of this. I was at, I
they asked us to lap
only
dance.
I was asked to give Eugene a lap dance.
It's 2015.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Seven years ago.
That one has 100,000 views. Now that person knows a good title when they see one.
Yeah. Maybe it was like comments. We all had to dance and I decided to do a lap dance because I needed to heighten somehow.
Right. I know he's about to lap dance on you, I think.
It was a lap dance off?
And Ned and I are singing remix to
Ignition. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's really. Oh, my God.
He's really riding me.
He's riding you so hard.
That was incredible.
How do I not have a photo memory of that?
Yeah.
That should be burned into my.
Out.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's blacked out from heat.
It was just so exciting.
Well, if you're ever blacking out from heat. And you need a little advice to unblack out, then call up our buddy Miles, who has access to a sound library, music library he doesn't have to pay for, and he'll sing you a little ditty and then give you some advice that may or may not have anything to do with that little ditty. This little ditty is called Country Song. It's called the number 3 morning folk song with Miles Bonsignore.
Holding your breath before you take the first little step. Make it real and make it nice. Do it well.
This song is awful. This is the ugliest backtrack.
Were you trying to do like a, like a reference to Dear Evan Hansen with the beginning of that singing?
My name is a little boy. His name is Miles B.
His name is.
And I am going to the sun, finding my dreams, and I'll go until it's done. Christmas time is on its way, and I will sing a song. You Santa Claus is coming, and I'm gonna drop the bomb.
What?
I'm gonna drop the bomb. Drop the bomb.
What's up, Miles Nation? How's everybody doing tonight? Wow.
That one was really something.
They should bring back theme songs. So what I just learned from this is that Miles goes to this, types a genre, and then hears it live for the first time.
Sometimes I have it queued up, but then sometimes I just go to the, I just let it fucking spin.
Yeah, and I think that was right. I can't wait for a Tisket a Tasket next time.
Yeah.
Tisket a Tasket. I've heard that one before.
Put it in a basket.
Also, that was considered a country song.
I know. That's why I was confused.
It's a folk song, I think.
It's a folk song.
It's even.
Shout out to YouTube Audio Library, royalty free tracks.
Thank you.
What's up, Miles Nation? How's everybody doing tonight?
Woo!
I'm asking y'all if you want a time travel. Do you want a time shovel?
Time shovel or trivel?
Do you want a time struvel?
Okay, something with time.
The past is beyond me, but actually, I'm looking to go on a little trip down south. The internet!
Colonial Williamsburg.
Has a lot of datas.
Uh-huh. We've talked about the algorithms. We've talked about your datas.
But we're living in a time where Zuck can fuck.
Okay.
It's not illegal to fuck anymore, and therefore Zuck is going to give you the goods. Look at your ancient Facebook messages.
Oh, wow.
If you're wanting to take a trip down the lane, similar to like we did this
wow.
episode.
That's brilliant.
I have been looking back through my best friend and I's ancient Facebook messages. Facebook's old now. There's some from
going
school.
Through a rough patch, buddy.
No. But I was just like, what was I like back then?
Yes, and 2006.
You might not have been posting stuff that's like that indicative, but you're definitely messaging stuff to people by way of Facebook Messenger, because that was like the primary method of communication.
I love this idea, Miles.
So I've been looking through and it's just unbelievable. It's just, I mean, one of the most embarrassing things I think I've ever seen.
This one actually relates to this episode. Exactly. You did a good job.
I thought of it
good
prior.
Job,
thanks,
Miles.
Keith.
Good job.
Thanks, Keith. But I was looking and there's nothing more embarrassing than how high school sweethearts talk to each other on Facebook Messenger.
Yeah.
It's, I don't even know that I can read it aloud on the podcast. It makes me too.
Could you give us like one?
It's,
you know, we had to react to our old things all episode.
This is
you know
what? High school sweetheart.
It's, so this is my high school girlfriend who shall remain nameless, but I just want to read, they're so embarrassing, but oh God.
Just give us one.
Give us a take.
Give us a good one.
Give us a take.
Let me see if she's even on here anymore.
Hey, sugar, do you think I could catch you for a minute after math class for a smooch?
Let me see.
For a little kissy?
Even on here anymore.
A little kissy, baby.
Oh. Oh, God.
Here we go. What do you got?
I don't know.
How about I'll read it and pretend that it's me?
I need to say it.
It needs to.
Needs to be me.
He needs to emit words at his discretion.
Oh, my God. I don't know if I don't
you
know.
You got it.
Okay. I'll omit her name.
Okay.
This,
I'll pull up one.
Call
it
Kathy.
Hello. Hello. This is from 2010. So, wow, 12 years ago. Hello.
So nervous.
Hello, my dear.
Oh,
I thought I would take a moment of your time to tell you how I feel about you in written poem.
Oh,
hell yeah.
Fuck yes. Miles, you're married now.
I'm a married man.
You're a man.
Young love is so fucking embarrassing.
You were a boy. You got nothing to be ashamed of.
So her name floats through my head as my lights are being put to bed. As I lay and fall asleep, my thoughts are of her and her golden Jeep. Her hair is as soft as the blankets she makes. I think she made me a blanket. And with her smile, my love she takes.
You must have been, you knew that this was funny.
I don't think so.
No, come on.
Bro, my absolute favorite thing in the world is gazing at my sweet indie fantastic girl. Oh, there's so much worse.
Okay, wait. How did she respond?
She didn't. But thank it goes on.
Thank you for sharing that, Miles. Oh, my God. That was beautiful.
That was the golden Jeep.
Now, how do you feel now about her?
Well, she definitely does not listen to the podcast, but we broke up because I went to the Vampire Weekend concert with my friends instead of her.
Honestly, no regrets.
Yeah.
And, but what about her golden Jeep?
Every time I would see a golden Jeep, I would be like, is that her car?
Have you ever seen a golden any
no,
car?
No, that's why it really stuck out to me. A golden Jeep.
Like bronze, maybe golden.
Just
golden.
Had a golden color to
golden
it.
Color.
I don't think it was made of gold.
It was not made of salt gold. No,
it'd be too heavy and soft.
But holy shit, Young Love is so embarrassing. And
it is.
Wow.
I don't think I'm looking
at a picture of a gold Jeep. It's very ugly.
Yeah, it was horrible.
Terrible color for a car.
But anyway, that's my advice, is to look through your old Facebook messages, because it really, at the very least, will be cringy and a walk down memory lane.
And by the way, that was, what, you said 2012?
2010.
2010. That's early Vampire Weekend.
Oh, yeah. I was in from the jump.
Hell yeah, my
okay,
dude.
Okay, dude.
Yeah.
Contra, I bought it on fucking CD at the Borders bookstore.
Contra wasn't even out yet.
Yeah, it was.
2010?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Contra was out.
All right.
Because I bought it at Borders. I had it in my car.
Cool.
Yeah, I was trying to see if I had anything embarrassing. I don't know, they're all boring.
I deleted Facebook from my phone. I don't have.
There's so much more.
I have the Messenger on my phone because that's the main way I talk to my mother.
Yeah.
So you can go to the Messenger, type in a name of someone you probably have talked with, and it's there.
And there's obviously those messages. And then all my messages, I have a message with my best friend, Marnie, who was a lesbian. And they're just, we just are messaging each other about how horny we are. She's like, there's this fucking girl and she's so hot. And I'm like, whoa, that's awesome.
I was trying to see if I could find the chat I had with Tim Meadows, but because he blocked me, I can't find it. I forgot that I can't find it. I've tried this before to see. Yeah.
Maybe I can go. Well, maybe we'll do this in another episode. I want to go back as far in my Instagram messages as I can.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Just scroll all the way.
We could recur ancient texts.
Yeah, I think, episode. Yeah.
Maggie has like her text messages synced to her computer. Mm-hmm. So I believe she has the text from when we first started dating.
Cute.
And that was some.
Did all of your texts recently on your phone just disappear? Like old texts?
No,
like,
but you have to set it to not delete them automatically.
Oh, because I had always had them forever. And then recently they just didn't have them anymore. And I was like bummed.
I set it to save, but I have, there's so much now that I want to like download a backup of it. Not that I would ever
need
it.
It's too late now. Mine are all gone.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Keith.
I used to have old texts like. I like them, and I don't have them anymore.
I get that.
The first three DMs I have with Chris Reinecker, yuck. He responded, oh, come on. And then a couple days later, he said, wash your hands. Huh. Well, this has been a perfect episode of the Try Guys. We hope that you're feeling wistful. Thanks.
The Try Guys is called the tripod.
Fuck.
It was perfect.
The tripod, man.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Let us know what you think we should be making more of, what you'd like to see us do, and we'll...
Consider it.
We'll consider it. If you know what you want.
Keith, that is with the official Tripod Theme song.
Where will we go from here? Where will we go from here? Don't you want to know if we will make an amazing thing if you stick around or 8 more years? Maybe we'll sing a song for you, each one of our fans, a song for each one of our fans. It's the tripod. It's the tripod. It's the tripod. It's the tripod.